Hey there, this is Fishing Frank, and welcome to another edition of Radio Fishing. You lucky little devils, you got me, and in the chair across from me today is Captain Chuck Jenks. And we're going to be talking about fishing in the harbor, what's been going on, and kind of getting into a forecast of what's coming up in the next couple of weeks. So, enough of this stuff. And let's see, that's how I get rid of him. There we go. Okay, and welcome Captain Chuck Jenks.
Good
What's
morning.
Up, buddy?
Another day in paradise.
The crowd loves you, buddy. Just, you know, wave to the audience, kind of calm them down. There you go. All right, everybody, settle down. Okay, we got you. All right. So anyway, you've been out pretty much every day for a while.
Yeah, every day for at least the last 2 weeks. And I'll be out every day next week. This weekend's kind of a wash for tarpon fishing because of the north wind. But other than that, we'll be out every day next week for sure.
So this is one of the earliest years I've ever seen for tarpon. I mean, I don't think I ever remember them coming in this early before.
Yeah, we got them real early, actually earlier than this, back in 2011. March was probably better than April. But this year is an early year compared to last year. Last year, we were running around with our heads cut off early May just because of the cold fronts. But this year, we've actually already got them patterned, and you can go out every day and, you know, be pretty successful if you know where they're at.
So what's the pattern going like? I mean, well, I don't expect you to give away any secret spots, but south, north, east, west.
Actually, the harbor has got plenty of fish in it, and Pine Island Sound's probably been a little bit better than Charlotte Harbor, but you know, anywhere you're finding schools of thread fins in the harbor around the deep holes, there's big kingfish and tarpon right underneath them, behind them, in front of them.
So the king mackerel are up in the harbor right now too.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, Scott Hughes, caught one last week that was over 50 pounds in the Pirate Harbor hole.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big boy.
That's amazing. Yep. I mean, I'm continually shocked by what's been happening in the harbor here over the last few years. 20-some years ago, you know, we went out in the Gulf to catch kings. We didn't come in the harbor for it.
Yep.
And now, over the last, every year, it gets more and more, boy, the harbor's just lighting up.
Yeah, it's been good.
Well, I think last year, we just didn't have any bait. There was no bait fish.
Yeah,
there wasn't,
it was horrible.
There was almost no glass minnows, no thread fins, no greenbacks, no nothing. And this year, we're getting a lot of schools of baits coming in.
Yeah, white bait. White bait's been easy. Last year, you know, white bait was so tough, I gave up trying to catch it. I didn't do any snook fishing last year in March, whereas, you know, normally I'll snook fish at least half the month. I didn't do any last year because the bait was too hard. I spent 3 hours trying to catch bait. Well, I mean, that gets to the point where it just gets ridiculous and just wears you out. So I did a lot more red fishing, but this year there's bait everywhere.
Well, the neat part about redfish is live shrimp, dead shrimp, right. Cut bait, live bait. Redfish is kind of like a water pig. I mean, he ruts around on the bottom. He's going to find something to eat.
Yeah, I use cut bait for redfish 9 out of 10 days. It's a no-brainer. I mean, they're down there scavenging on the bottom. Their mouths are built for feeding right off the bottom. And
that big blunt nose can push into the bottom and dig out those crabs and stuff, and you know, everything's all built for grubbing on the bottom. That's why you always hear the expression tailing redfish. And what tailing redfish is when the water's so shallow, they're trying to push their head down into the mud to get the crabs or the shrimp, and the water's so shallow their tail sticks out.
Yeah, basically that's all it is. It's a great sight to see too. You know, normally we get those in the wintertime when, like you said, we got the real low tides. They're fun. They're a blast. And they're feeding right on the bottom, eating those shrimp and crabs and going to town.
So so basically right now, you're kind of keyed in on the whole tarpon thing.
Well, I don't want to say I'm keyed in. Last week, for instance, I fished every day. I did 2 days of tarpon. And I have, you know, people that are in town right now, they'll ask about tarpon fishing, and what I tell them, it's a flip of a coin. I said, you can go out there and you can whack them, or you could go out there and get skunked.
Get a really pretty boat ride.
Exactly. Yes. So I had two guys gamble last week, and you know, it paid off for them. They caught some nice tarpon. We didn't get skunked, but yeah, we just probably got hit the right weather, hit the right tide, and did really well. But there's days I've been out there also and not got a bite. So it's going to be any day now. The tarpon are going to go off. And
now, a lot of the captains are going, okay, well, you know, especially this time of year where it's still on and off again.
Right.
Because, I mean, for fish, it's basically a garbage can.
Yep.
They'll eat anything. They can get awful finicky. So you go out and you fish for them. Do you do a lot of plan B? Like, okay, we're just not doing this. We're going to go and hit the redfish.
Right. Plan B this time of year is snook and redfish. They're a no-brainer right now. They're everywhere, yeah, and the bait's easy to catch. But like I said, I'm telling you, know, my plan B right now is really the tarpon, because people will book a trip and then they find out tarpon are here when I tell them. And like I said, you know, I'll tell them it's a flip of a coin, so they're going right for that and just bypassing the snook and redfish altogether. You know, but there's some
so
people.
What you been hitting the tarpon on?
Live thread fins.
Okay.
Yeah, live threads under a cork.
Now, have you been experimenting with anything else yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't used any cut bait just because the tarpon I'm finding are when you see them, they're kind of spread out. You'll see them schooled up just a little bit down in Pine Island, but up in the harbor, they're spread out a little bit. So I'm trying to get on the trolling motor and just wherever I see a free jumper or a roller, just kind of troll my baits right through that area. So I really haven't done too much experiment. It's not good enough for lures yet, but with a live bait, it's your best bet.
Speaking of lures, I want to try the rattle traps this year, the 1 ounce rattle traps.
Yeah.
I got a hunch. I got a big, kind of almost an offshore one too. I want to try, pinch the barbs down flat on the trebles and see what they'll do to it. I was talking to Wes, the president of the rattle trap, when he was here at the tent sale. And he's going to work on getting a wired rattle trap, you know, with wire from the top right through the hook. So, you know, even if it explodes the plastic, because on, you know, 150, 200 pound fish, it's not hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
The wire will still keep you attached to it.
Yeah.
But that's going to be interesting, because years ago we used to do a lot of trolling with different versions of rattle traps. And he used to work really good on the tarpon.
Yeah.
And we're going to try and experiment around a little bit with that. I'll show you after we get done doing this what I was talking about. But the other thing you got to see is there's a new tarpon rod out this year too. And I'm sold out. I mean, we sold out. I had a dozen of them come in and they're already gone. I got another batch. Should be here Tuesday, I think. But it's from Penn. It's lightweight. Got a fairly good tip. It's a little stiff. But pretty nice rod altogether. Regular retail at $120.
Oh, nice. That's a good price.
That's going to bring and it's got a nice blank on it. I'm not sure I want it for a bait buster, but for slinging thread fins, might be something you want to look at this season.
Yeah, I'll check them out for sure.
Because, you know, you fish a lot of quantum.
Yeah.
And quantum at one point made the best reels and rods.
Right.
And they're hurting on rods right now, really bad.
They even make rods anymore?
They got a couple in on the Finor side, but
yeah.
I didn't know. I've been to three shows, with them or for them, and I haven't seen any rods.
Yeah,
that's why I was bringing that up. You might want to look at this new one. It's from Penn,
right?
And it just came out. I didn't even notice it till the day after I was cleaning up after the tent sale. I went, wow, what's this? I didn't even know we had them.
Yeah.
And looking at them, 8 foot, nice action. We're going to have to get into it. It's that battalion with that 40-pound, 8 foot, 40-pound class. I should have some in the beginning of the week. And that's why I was bringing it up, because, you know, Quantum still makes some of the most kick-butt reels there is. I mean, the Quantum Cabo is kind of a definitive tarpon reel.
Yeah, it's a great reel.
It is an amazing reel. That backloaded drag where you're only running a third of the reel drag pressure, and it's more than enough for the tarpon.
Oh, more than enough.
You got to be careful, because if you crank it down a little bit too much, it's explosive in the power.
Yep. 55 pounds of drag is a little overkill for that reel, but if you need it, it's there, but you don't really need it.
I don't know too many people could hold it.
No.
I mean, when you lock that, you'd lock down a Cabo, I think you're losing your rod and reel.
Probably.
I don't think you could stop the fish with it.
No, something's going to explode. It'll probably be the rod or the line or the leader, but
something's giving, because that Cabo is just unbelievable with that.
They're crazy. They're nice reels.
Yeah, they did a good job with the Cabo. I wish they would have left the Boca alone. That old Boca was an amazingly good, tough reel.
Yeah.
Kind of like Penn's Battle. It was just one you went to when you wanted something big, heavy, and tough. Just to, you know, not overly expensive, just bag of rocks solid.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm that impressed. Have you fished the new Bocas yet?
I haven't fished the new Bocas, but my personal reel that I use for redfish with, you know, fishing artificials is an old Boca 20, and I'm down to my last one. Well, I started with two, lost one. I got one left. If I could find a box of those, I'd buy every one of them.
Yeah.
They're great. I wish they still made them.
But see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. That old Boca, yeah. If they would have left that line alone.
Yeah.
Quantum, I mean, Penwood had a lot harder time taking over the world.
Right.
Right now, basically, you go out and we can get you the conflicts for those, and
yep.
you'll be in love with it. It's great. As a personal reel, I have a smoke. I like to smoke inshore for my personal. I don't think it'll hold up under the charter conditions.
No.
But get you a pen conflict, and they're actually relatively inexpensive. I mean, they're less than the price of the old Bocas. And they just rock.
Yeah.
I mean, amazingly strong.
Yeah.
But where are you finding these redfish now?
I'm finding most of my redfish, not under the bushes. I'm still fishing potholes. Last week, we didn't have the high tide was maybe a foot at best. So I was fishing more potholes, maybe 2-3 feet off, or 10, 15 feet off the bushes, 2 or 3 feet of water. This coming next week, you're going to have some higher tides, so they're going to be under the bushes. But I'm fishing, last week I fished Bull Bay every day. Usually this time of year I'm fishing Pine Island. I ran all my trips out of Boca Grande, and Bull Bay was on fire for me last week. Catfish Creek a little bit on Friday for the snook. But, you know, inside Bull Bay, you know, 15, 20 feet off the bushes in the potholes is where I was doing the best. And I'm catching 10 snook to every one redfish. So
really?
That's not a bad thing. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that has to suck. That's that's just too bad. I feel bad for you.
I tell you, on Friday, I did two trips on Friday, and I'd be surprised if I didn't catch at least 100 snook in between the two trips. It's just,
let me see your thumbs. Oh, yeah. He's actually catching that many fish.
When
the captain brags about how many snook they catch,
yeah, my thumbs
always
are hurting.
Look at their thumbs, because you're always grabbing a snook by the lip,
yeah.
And it is rough, like a wood rasp.
Yeah, it got to the point by Friday, I was using the Boga grip on, you know, 15 inches on everything, because my thumbs were hurting so bad. I mean, they're cookie cutters. They're 20 to 25-inch fish. We got I got three last week. Over the slot, 120 pound, well, 19 pounds, 116 pounds, and another one right at 15 pounds. And but most of them are cookie cutter, 20 to 25 inch fish. But they're fun, and they're, you know, if you can get into some of these spots, you can get them on almost every cast, every bait, you know.
Yeah, it's just an amazing time out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to tell people the harbor. It was like somebody turned a light switch on.
Right.
February, even that first week of March was so iffy.
Yep.
I mean, you'd go out and try and hustle up fish, and you know, you could pull off a good day with a lot of work. But now you can, if you're passably lucky, if you go in and do a scratch off and you get a free ticket every once in a while, that's all the luck you would have to have.
Yep.
To go out and have a really good day on redfish right now.
Yeah. You know, it's this transition period, just like, you know, October, November, you know, March, April is the same way. You know, water's going from cool to warm to hot, and the bait fish are showing up and the fish are ready to eat. Just like,
have you noticed the temperature lately?
81 degrees in Bull Bay on Friday.
81.
It's probably cooled down after this week. It was 81 degrees.
We needed that cool down.
I think so. So you slowed things down just a little bit.
Yeah, because it can get way too hot.
Then
the algae starts blooming, you know? And everything. Yeah, it can get really bad.
Yeah.
But it was nice. This cool front. I mean, I woke up this morning, lit a fire in the fireplace,
yeah.
And kind of huddled up with the coffee and the nicotine in front of the fireplace,
yeah.
And I didn't go outside for my morning stuff. It was actually nice to have another morning in front of the fireplace.
Yeah, it was very well. You know, we deserve to have something like this after the March we've had. You know, with just 85 degree temperatures every day. I feel like we deserve a cool day every now and then.
It was
nice.
It's literally just, if we get the wind to slow down, the fishing's going to be skyrocketing again.
Yep.
Now,
next week should be a good week. It's, you know, I think the winds are blowing north, northeast, you know, tomorrow. But after that, we're switching to west winds, 5 to 10, you know, for a couple days. And that's going to be good.
Yeah, we're going to be updating the tarpon maps, and I'll maybe get you to help me update my tarpon maps. I'll put your logos and everything on the ones you helped me update, and give you a little advertising in there, because I got to get on those at least once a week now.
Yeah.
The whole thing is right now, do you have any open time coming up next couple of weeks?
I have a couple days in April, probably about 5 or 6 days left in April that I can book for tarpon. May's already booked, and June, the last 2 weeks, I have some days if people want to come during that.
So there is a chance you can still get somebody out.
Yeah, in April or June. Fishing. Yep, I can get somebody out for sure. And then, you know, after July is wide open, as you know, it kind of dies. But
and what's funny is August is some of the best tarpon fishing we have down here.
Yeah.
July can be a little 50-50, but yeah. August and September are amazing times down for tarpon.
My best times last year, well, I'll just take last year, September 15th, October 15th. And I made a video of just that 30-day window, and it's on my website on the homepage, and it was phenomenal. It was the best tarpon fishing of the year, and it has been, you know, ever since I've really concentrated tarpon fishing that window. It's awesome.
Everybody is so concentrated on May and June, April, May and June, and they forget that September, even, you know, August through October, August, yep, September, October, some of the best tarpon fishing of the year, and nobody's here.
No boats out there.
You go out there, and you're not worried about 10 other boats coming up on your school. There's only a very few boats. It is the best time of the year.
All you gotta do is look for the birds. You find a flock of pelicans or gulls, and you're gonna find the tarpon, and they're eating. It's not like May and June where, you know, eating might be the third thing on their mind. You know,
right now, you know, and if you're curious, just picture when you were dating, and, you know, she says, "Do you want to come up for a cup of coffee?" Are you really thinking about a cup of coffee?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, do you want to come up for a cup of coffee?
That's May and June, you know.
You're not thinking about a sandwich or a snack or anything else. You know, and that's what's going on right now. That's why we do have an amazing array of tarpon at this time. And the cool thing about now versus the September, August, September, October thing is the cool thing and the bad thing is we have so many sharks.
Right.
I mean, you know, a lot of the guys are actually carrying a little bit of steel with them just because they get tired of getting broke off, so they decide to play with them a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so yeah, they want to spawn first, not get eaten second, and then feed for themselves third. You know, so
right.
You know, May and June's great months to fish, but if I could move all my May business to September and October, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah. The temperature's nice.
Yeah.
The weather's usually pretty good.
Yeah.
It's a great time. And if you're listening up there and you just can't get down here for the regular tarpon season, you know, there is the secret one.
Yeah.
I was talking to Danny Latham about it the other day.
Yeah.
And Danny Rhett, I mean, all these guys,
Everybody's
going, man, I can go out in August, September, October and just whack the tarpon there's nobody here.
Nope.
It's wonderful.
And there's fish everywhere. They're from the 41 Bridge all the way down to Bernstorff Marina. So
yeah,
you cannot see another boat all day and have a wonderful day of fishing. But back to what's going on right now, if there's a lot of fish tarpon in Boca Grande Pass. And like I said about the kingfish, there's plenty of big kingfish in Boca Grande Pass too.
Really?
Big kingfish, yeah.
Well, good. I'm doing my fishing reports. I'm making notes while we do this.
Yeah, the kingfishing's been really good in the pass.
All right, well, what's your best thing? If you're going to send the average guy out just to, you know, catch some fish, what's your best advice?
The best bet right now is hard to beat that snook bite. I mean, the snook are everywhere. The bait's easy to catch. You know, if you can get a couple hundred white baits, or even 100 white baits, you don't even have to chum that much. The best bet has been snook. The snook bite, the last 3-4 weeks has been phenomenal, and it's only going to get better. Like I said, cookie cutter fish, but I've got no problem catching a, you know, 10, 20, 30, 24 inch snook myself, so I'm sure your average person doesn't have any problem with that either.
No, I mean, it's good. Now, what we're talking about using is a 7-foot medium to medium heavy rod, like a 6 to 12 or an 8 to 17, something with a little tip on it. 15 pound braid.
30 pound fluorocarbon leader.
And if you're using the white bait, I usually use about a 3-0 hook.
That's what I use, a 3-0 owner, Mutu Light.
And that way, and just free line them up towards the mangroves. Yep. But you don't have to be under the trees right now. It's not dammit fishing.
Right.
You're actually a little better off just outside of the trees.
Yep.
So this is that time of year you don't actually have to be that good with casting. You can kind of get it in the area.
Right. And what I do, you know, when I want to find new spots or go to old spots and see if they're holding snook, you know, I might not even grab my fishing pole. I'll open up my live well, turn my trolling motor on, and throw a handful of chum out every 100 yards. And as soon as you see one pop, there's going to be more. Drop your anchor, drop your power pole, and it's game on.
Right.
Yep.
Now, about the only place I know right now where shrimp is still doing really good, I mean, you can catch redfish on shrimp any time of the year.
Yeah.
But the snook and the redfish up in the Mayaca Cutoff and over in the Mayaca River are still kind of keyed in on shrimp for some reason.
Yeah.
As you get further south down the west wall east side, the more you work south, the more you almost have to have whitebait. If you're coming up through the river, the Peace River, the Mayaca River, shrimp is still working up here. And I don't know if it's a water temperature issue or if the bait just hasn't made it up here.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't fished the upper harbor in over a month, so I really can't comment on what's going on in Mayaca or Peace River. You know, I'm putting in at Placida and fishing that area up there, and there's bait everywhere. Schools of thread fins and schools of whitebait.
And that's what they're keying in on.
That's what they're keyed in on.
So, and snook need the oil from the bait fish.
Right.
That oil helps them with the reproductive system, you know, with making babies and eggs and spawn and all that stuff. So it's one of the reasons back in the 1960s and early 70s, the bait fish along the Gulf Coast of Florida were continuous from Naples to St. Petersburg, continuous schools, never less than a quarter mile wide.
Wow.
And over time, I mean, that went from there, and then you go back as far as you want in history. That's the way it was. It wasn't until almost the 1980s. It started in the 70s, but by the 80s, it was pretty well thinned out, more like it is today, where you have a pot of bait here and a pot of bait there. But Zapata Foods did a survey, and I found it. I got to remember what I did with it, but I did find the Zapata Foods aerial surveys from back then, the written one. I don't have the pictures anymore. Charlie, I think, got them. But according to Zapata Foods, Mike Mack was flying the airplane, Mike Mack Sr., and they literally recorded unbroken. They flew from Naples to St. Pete on the coast doing surveys to see if it was worth bringing the boats. Because Zapata is based out of Texas.
Right.
They wanted to know if it was worth bringing the boats over from Florida. And the decision was definitely there was way too many fish here. So they came over, and that's when the big commercial, you know, catch for all our bait fish happened. That's when it knocked it all back.
Right. Yeah. It's. I'd like to have been around those days.
Can you imagine? Unbroken school, never less than a quarter mile wide, all the way from Naples to St. Pete.
Yeah, you're talking about, 200 miles of coastline right there.
Yeah, well over 100 miles of coastline and continuous bait fish.
That's crazy.
Yeah, ridiculously unimaginable numbers.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, as far as tarpon fishing goes, the tarpon is on good.
Yep.
You're either drifting the boat or using your trolling motors to pull the bait along.
Right, yeah.
And you're just freelining the thread fins.
I'm fishing them under a cork. I'm using about a 6-foot leader with a circle hook. So I'm able to catch some of those kingfish that are biting. I'm actually able to catch them with the circle hook and a mono leader because it's getting them in the perfect spot, their mouth. So
now, are you weighting the hook down at all or just let about 6 feet below a float and just kind of barely moving along?
Right.
Watching for any type of activity you see, be it bait fish or birds or whatever you can see to get you kind of in an area and then just drift through.
Yeah, if I go out, say if I went out tarpon fishing tomorrow and not tarpon fishing the last 3 days, the first thing I'm going to look for is the bait and the birds. And if I don't see a tarpon, I'm going to start there and start fishing there and then be looking on my trolling motor, because you're not going to see hundreds of tarpon, you know, like you would in May or June. You're just, you're looking for, you know, one or two fish roll, and they're going to give up where the school is. And, you know, you just want to stay in that area, but you want to be around the birds. You want to be around the bait because that's where all the predators are.
There you go. Yeah. It's amazing how much hunting we do to make our fishing good.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't realize that it's when you're a charter boat captain, you use your eyes, your ears, all that, even the sense of smell, because you, when fish get boiling on the bottom, they'll stir up that bottom and that methane, and it will create a light smell over an area.
Yeah.
And you have to use, there's less guesswork than people think, but it's learning to read the signs and read what goes on the water. That's what separates a captain.
Yeah, it's a lot of hunting.
A lot of hunting. So, anyway, well, I'm going to let you go now. If you want to find out more about Chuck and his charter thing, just click his logo right next there. I've got his logo right up next to this thing, and click that. It'll take you right to his website, and he's got some video up there and a lot of cool pictures, and great way to spend a little bit of time while you're checking out the wide world of fishing.
Yeah, you can never look at enough fishing stuff. Videos, articles,
I'm trying to get the time to do video fishing. We're going to do a video page on here.
That'd be great.
Right now at 3.5 million hits a month on this website. Yeah. It's a juggernaut that I actually, I'm not taking the dog for a walk anymore. It's dragging me down the street. Yeah, the dog is walking me at this point. Yeah. So anyway, well, thank you guys so much for listening. Anything else you want to go over with there, Chuck?
Oh, that's about it. We covered the snook, the redfish, the tarpon, and the kingfish, and that's all I've really been fishing for. So,
well, give me a call every once in a while, or I'll call you, and because I can do this now over the phone.
Okay, great.
So I've got two phone lines hooked up to this, and we can actually start doing more of these. My goal is to get enough time to be able to do several of these a week with captains who are either on the water or just off of the water, so we get a little fresher reports.
Okay, yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is dedicated tarpon or bust, so if you want an updated report, call me then.
I will. Thank you, Chuck, and this is Fish and Frank, and that's Captain Chuck Jenks. And click the button, go to his website, check out the videos and the pictures and all that, and if you want to catch a tarpon or a bunch of snook and redfish, just give Chuck a call. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll catch you on the Rex Radio Fishing.